to
us. I don't know if I could do the sad open again today, Dan Day. I already did it once this week.
Our to
us. I shouldn't have.
It's our to
us. Leroy's got a handkerchief. Oh, man. Dolphins getting ready for the Seahawks. Taking guys up until 2.
Here's the deal.
Oh, man.
If your season and your is centered around one guy that much, then you're not ready to win a championship.
I mean, Kansas City, if Patrick Mahomes got hurt, do you think they would be okay?
Yeah, because they still won with, the quarterback that was here.
Bro, nobody's picking them to win the championship if Mahomes was down. You're nuts.
No. I'm saying there was a...
Wasn't he backing him up?
No. 2 years ago, who's the quarterback that came here? Henny came in for a game. But you're gonna have to be able to find a way till your guys get back.
I agree with that.
It's early in the season. So, like, it's not over. You gotta find a way. That's everybody's job in that building. Find a way to win. It might not look pretty. In some instances, it may look damn ugly. But find a way to win. If your team is good enough, then you're good enough to be able to get by a couple of weeks or a few weeks without one guy.
I think this is a big stand for Mike McDaniel, if I'm honest. All right? You're supposed to be some kind of guru. All right? You're supposed to figure things out. Now you got to go. I'm looking around, and I'm looking across the aisle, and I got another guru here in Mike McDonald. You guys basically got the same name. All right.
The two mics.
Two mics. Two Macs. Two Mike Macs. I want to see. Show me you're a guru. This guy's supposedly a guru. He's got his team off to a 2-0 start. All right. Led Baltimore's defense last year. You got basically inside info. This is like insider trading. All right. Insider trading, dude.
Can I please say this? Systems, yes. You have an insight on the system or maybe the idea of what he's trying to do. But here's where that changes. When you have different players, when you have different positions that are more dominant than the other ones on the team that field that you left or the team that you left. So even though you might have the same general concept, it changes with the players. And so to just sit here and think that you're going to go and just say, oh, let's look at Baltimore's. Well, Seattle don't have the same players.
Ridiculous.
Yes.
Because I'll tell you what. I'm telling you. This kid up there.
Want to give you a perfect example?
Sure.
I'll give you a perfect example. So our offensive coordinator went to Baltimore. Brian Billick. He went to Baltimore, and their offense was horrible, and they still won the Super Bowl. You know why? Because he didn't have Randy Moss, Jay. So all these teams looking at Minnesota to try to figure out what Brian Billick is going to do when Randy Moss, Chris Carter, and Jake Reed didn't go with him. It's like yeah, you ain't going – it's going to look different. Coaches evolve. Coaches – match the talent that they have. So depending on the talent that Seattle has defensively will determine where they put the emphasis on putting pressure on you on the, not just the offense. You can't just plug and play anybody, right? You can't. If the offensive coordinator here goes to another team, he ain't got Tyreek Hill. You can't be studying that film with Tyreek Hill and go, okay, this is what we going
to
cover.
I need the moles to step up, dude. Like Jordan Poirier, where were you last week? You don't think Jerome Baker's giving insight into Skylar Thompson?
Here's an interesting one.
Hmm?
You know what Jordan Poirier knew?
Hmm?
He knew that their quarterback was a moose.
This guy,
Josh Allen, was a moose. Hey, it's going to be hell getting him on the ground. He's a moose.
He was there. He told the media. He told the media in the lead up, I got inside.
And when he said that, what did I say to you?
I don't know.
When he said, I said, yeah, whatever.
Wink.
Like, come on. Like, yo, you take a sport that is so much more complicated and make it just, if I know what the other guy's doing, I could stop him.
True Michigan fan.
Everybody in the league know Tyreek gonna run fast.
Okay.
Are they stopping him? Come on. Like, don't.
Do you guys have that engraved at Michigan? Like, is that on the wall now?
No. Nope. You know what's engraved on the wall?
What?
Those who stay will be champions.
Is that really on the wall? That's kind of goosey. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Headlines brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, the Taos, and the Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. Miami Hurricanes, they are getting ready, of course, for a showdown with USF. 7 o'clock on Saturday. So was it 3 o'clock is our pregame coverage on QAM. Dan, you on Saturday as well? People listen to you.
Come on, man. I live here. I'm everything.
He does live here, dude.
You want me? I got Hawk and Crowder next. I got Day at Night. I'll be at pregame, postgame. I might even cover some games that aren't even on this station.
Can,
I don't know.
Can somebody just like they're just gonna take Dan and like his AI of just running the station? And there'll be a cyborg there one day. It'll just be carved out of him.
When we come into work, we're just gonna bring an extra cup of coffee. Dan's probably here. He's just bringing his sitting his little spot over there.
Guys sitting here running Odyssey in the Northeast, you know.
I really worked in Boston this morning.
He did.
Now I'm here in Miami.
He did. No, you did. You worked in Boston this morning.
No joke.
Design something, bruh. I really want both these teams to fail tonight. I mean, I want sadness tonight. That's what I want.
But I want somebody's going to be here. The only team that can be sad tonight of the New York Jets. The Patriots can't be sad because nobody's expecting anything from them. Everybody said before the season started, it was going to be a struggle. The fact that they beat Cincinnati, right? They're already on high. So the only team tonight that can be disappointed and miserable are the Jets. Everybody expect the Patriots to suck. So.
That's true.
Yeah, so that's it. So now, look, I've already cut your hate watching in half.
No, I still hate Boston. Like, I'll still laugh at him.
But guess what? Let me ask you an honest question.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two teams you hate has to lose.
Yeah.
You'll have more fun if the Jets lose.
100%.
Okay. So that's what I'm saying. I cut your hate watching in half.
100%.
You don't have to. You don't have to all out cheer for the Patriots. But if the Jets should come up short,
well,
you're going to do a little.
But let's just say theoretically, Leroy, if I wanted some action tonight, if I wanted to have a little bit of fun tonight.
Plus, there's the cool rewind feature where you can listen to any part of any show you might have missed anytime. Get it now and make WQAM your favorite station.
It's our number 2-0 with Tobin and Leroy.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Leroy will be back in a bit. He is checking in with his folks in Cleveland. Normally does it on Wednesdays, but we were at Panthers Media Day yesterday, which a lot of people loving Sergei Bobrovsky and his respect for the Stanley Cup, that he held it in such a... He is not about hijinks with the Stanley Cup, at least not publicly. He's not letting us know. Because we asked him, did he pull the Roberto Luongo, eat anything out of it? And you could just see the look in his face of, too much respect for the cup, not going to do anything crazy with it. Basically sounded like he brought it into his house, put it on a podium, and nobody was allowed to touch it. Pictures around it, maybe white gloves for the Bobrovsky family, but that's it. You know, we're not doing any hijinks with the with the Stanley Cup, which I was a little disappointed. I was hoping that Sergei would cut loose a little bit, but if he did, he did not reveal it. He's keeping it all to himself. So we got that. One thing that is going to be fun, speaking of cups, get your whiskey cups ready, ladies and gentlemen. I guess you really drink it out of a glass. But either way, you guys can join the WQM on-air staff at Smoke on the Water in Weston for Whiskey Stars and Cigars next Wednesday, September 25th. It's presented by Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall. Enjoy fine whiskey, a good cigar, and sports talk with the WQM on-air staff. The Heat's Duncan Robinson is going to be in attendance. You guys can attend for free. All you got to do is RSVP at WQAM.com. But spots are filling up, so do so quickly. And that'll get you an invite and a complimentary cigar. You must be over 21. Drink responsibly. Come hang out with all of us here at the WQM on-air staff at Whiskey Stars and Cigars Wednesday, September 25th at Smoke on the Water in Weston, presented by Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall. Official partner, the main man. There's nobody better to help you flip your biz and cash out big than the main man. Go online to themainman.com. And sponsored by the injury law firm of Cohen and Judah, where a partner handles every single case. Visit cohenandjudah.com to see partner reviews. Dan, since you were working Boston this morning, I'm curious, did they speak at all about the Aaron Hernandez television show that debuted yesterday?
No, not one word about
it. Not a word about it?
No, not a word.
I watched the first two episodes yesterday, and I will say, it's one of those empty calorie shows, which are my favorites. I love terrible reality TV. Mm. Hulu, they've done these sports shows before. Like, they did the Mike Tyson show. I couldn't get into it. I'm like, this is a guy that looks nothing like Mike Tyson. Yeah. They're always over the top with it. Like, they're always just going way over the line. But then on top of it, I just couldn't get past this guy. Didn't look like Mike Tyson at all. Didn't do the voice. Like, just didn't pull it off, you know? The Aaron Hernandez one, it's not the casting that bothers me. Although the Urban Meyer guy, that's, my favorite character. Because he's, you know what it is? He looks nothing like Urban Meyer. Okay. Except for the feathered hair that they've tried to pull off in makeup. But he sounds like Urban Meyer. He pulled off the voice. But it's just ridiculous, this entire show. Like, them going to Gainesville, they have a fake Cam Newton who got kicked. They even did the poor Cam Newton's catch a straight. This isn't his show.
Cam didn't do anything.
This is not his show. And yet they somehow, spoiler alert, they're doing, but although these are real events, so if you didn't know they happened, I'm just letting you know these are in the show. Cam Newton stealing the laptops in the show.
In the show.
In the show.
That has nothing to do with anything.
This is Aaron Hernandez's story, not Cam Newton's. They only have one of the Pouncey brothers at this point. And it's a lot. It's very over the top. I think I'm going to keep watching. Like,
is it good over the top, though?
It's good enough for me to keep watching. Like, I don't know if it's good or train wreck, you know, entertaining, where I'm just going to keep watching. I am struggling for new TV shows right now. So the bar is very, very low for me. Very, very low. You know, and I just don't have it in me to watch the Marlins right now. So I was just like, you know what? Let's try the Aaron Hernandez show. But it is hilarious. Like, the whole story, and I don't even know if this is real. I don't, you know, I didn't dive into Aaron Hernandez's childhood. I know, like, what happened at the end and how he grew up. But, like, the fact that his parents or his father really wanted him to go to UConn above anywhere else, and he turned down Notre Dame scholarships, that's a patently terrible decision for your child. I don't know what to tell you. And I'm very sorry that the father ended up passing away later, spoiler alert, in the show, all of this real life events. But I was like, what? UConn? Mm-hmm. UConn? That's where they wanted him to go? Yeah, what a terrible choice.
That was the goal in life.
UConn.
UConn. Well, he's from that area. So
he is from there.
Stay local. But Urban Meyer was able to just go in there and get the highly touted at the time.
He's like, that's the thing. Like, if this is the best.
Did they get into some of the other questionable childhood things that Aaron Hernandez may or may not have done with his friends?
Yes. A lot of Aaron Hernandez being closeted, you know, yeah, being, you know, hiding his sexual past, all that type of stuff. Alleged. There's a lot of that. A lot of big portion of the show, I'd say. But also a lot of Urban Meyer's backstory. And I'm like,
there's a lot of enough of Urban backstories in this.
Like, they're like, they went through episode two was a lot of gators. And it was like Urban Meyer, you know, is dealing with all these criminals on his team running wild. And the Gators brass, because they lost two games that year, they're like, you got to do something about this, Herb. And he's like, would we be doing this if we were 8-0? And he goes, probably not. Yeah. I'm like, well, I respect the honesty of the lawyer. But then they're like, even get to the point where like Urban Meyer's getting the chest pains. I'm like, whose story is this?
That's Cam Newton, though, like, really?
Caught astray. I'm like, what is he at? I mean, I understand what happened. We all remember history. I'm watching with Mrs. Tobin, too, and she goes, why wasn't Tebow good in the NFL? I'm like, couldn't throw a lick. I'm like, you see the position Aaron Hernandez is playing? He should have played that in the NFL, and then maybe he would have had a future. But he had to be a quarterback.
His windup was a little long and couldn't really throw it very accurately or hard.
The Tebow thing was crazy, dude. Like, we would tune in. Like, you remember when the two things of Tebow where you just knew it was, first of all, that anybody drafted him in the first round. Crazy, you know? Secondly, though, do you remember when we broke into SportsCenter coverage? This would have been on social media back in the day, but it, you know, social media, Twitter, a little bit in its infancy. But when they broke into SportsCenter coverage because Tim Tebow had a new throwing delivery, and they're like, hey, you got to check out Tim Tebow's new throw. That, to me, I was like, oh, my God, this is great. And then, of course, he went over to baseball, which was, you know.
Even was bad.
It was crazy. But anyway, I was just curious if Boston was discussing this at all, you know.
Not a word. I didn't even know.
Well, it's a, I don't know when the new episode, I don't know if it's new episodes every day or every week. It's a little tough to tell with streaming. They gave the first two yesterday. And, Dade South says, the Hernandez show is not for us sports dorks. I don't care, Dade South, about the, how good it looks. I'm fully expecting, the sports stuff of it to look bad. That I don't, I give passes on that. Like, I'm more interested in the people stories of it, but I'm just very curious, why so much Urban Meyer story on the Aaron Hernandez case? Like, you know, this guy seemed like he ran with a rough crew, and they kind of just like they're spending more time on Urban Meyer trying to convince him to dominate than it is, you know, why I had guys that may have shot guys outside of Gainesville clubs, you know?
Yeah, maybe they'll tie it all together.
Maybe they will.
Maybe that's why Urban Meyer is so, I don't know, coy with the media at times, because maybe he's part of the reason.
Maybe. Well, I will say, it's better than that whack-ass Netflix documentary, Swamp Kings, because that glazed over everything. They were just like, oh, that was the greatest team, the Gators team. But they didn't, they did some bad stuff, but we're not going to talk about it here on Netflix.
You'd think the salacious details would be part of the excitement.
You would think that, but that's the thing with the that series, every one of these, it's like, it's great that you get the main person on camera, but if you're not going to talk about the stuff in depth, what's the point? You know?
Yeah, I watched the Hope Solo Untold, whatever. Man, they left out a lot of details.
They did, right? Did they?
Like, huge.
Dude.
You could tell, like, they were just like, okay, Hope, as long as you're on the Untold, we'll kind of tailor the story
right
your way.
That's been a big thing with Untold. Is like, Untold, I guess, unasked.
I mean, major things they leave out. I'm like, okay, I guess you got Hope Solo.
So what was that one about? That was about her domestic violence arrest,
it was just
mostly?
Kind of her career, and they kind of, you know.
They just glossed over the arrest.
Yeah, but they did talk about the arrest, but they didn't give any details, and they kind of made it look like she didn't do anything wrong. And then, like, they left out major, major details about, like, the women and her teammates and some of the stuff. And
crazy, dude.
They just really, really.
I'll tell you what else they did that with, and Dr. Tobaga mentions, the Steve McNair documentary.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Well, that I think that was the one that debuted. And it's like, all right, I remember the story. I always figured, oh, see, he had a secret life. The story was he got, you know, shot and killed by the mistress. What do you got for me? And like, you got an, these aren't like six parters. It's a one part. So they got like an hour and 15 and they're giving you like 50 minutes of how great the Tennessee Titans were when they moved to Nashville. And I'm like, that's awesome, dude. However, can you tell me about Steve McNair? What the hell happened? And then, spoiler alert, like in the last 10 minutes of it, they're like, by the way, it might have been the felon that the mistress was with or his friend who stole $13,000 from him. All right, that's untold. See you, everybody. I'm like, wait a minute. You should have spent all the documentary talking about that, not the fact that he came within a yard of winning the Super Bowl. I know that doesn't have to be told. We all saw it. You have to tell the untold.
Nope. Give me some stats. All right. Oh, yeah, by the way, you could have died. Blah, 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 bye.
Yeah, we, you know, it does make sense. You know, she never handled a gun in her life. Maybe it was the felon. I don't know. But they have this one guy who has all these theories, and that guy was left on the cutting room floor? I mean, respectfully, the McNair's, you know, Steve McNair is not here to complain about this anymore. Like, let's get into this a little bit untold.
See some of these possibilities and theories.
Very strange. Untold. They got to pick up the game. But anyway, I'll report back, everybody, when I get to more of the Aaron Hernandez story on Hulu.
I'll try to get to the Boston people tomorrow and see what they have to say about that.
We'll take a break. Mix things up. Coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. It is that time of day where we mix it on up, dude. It is time for the mix bag. So we'll start off with a little Miami Dolphins football. Skylar Thompson is, of course, your QB1 this week with Tyler Huntley backing him up. And one of the things we know about Seattle, notoriously one of the best home field advantages in the NFL. I would say you would go with them, probably the Superdome, Arrowhead. I would say those are probably like the top three everybody talks about as hardest places to play. But Skylar Thompson, he is ready for the 12th man. Here's what the Dolphins quarterback had to say on it.
Just hearing guys talk and guys that have been there, it's a special place to play. And the 12th man is real. And, you know, I'm super excited for that. For me, that's what you want, you know? Like, that's why football is such a great game. And, you know, being able to go on the road, have a road opportunity with the guys and get to go in there and go to battle with them in that environment is fun, you know. And I know we're really excited for that opportunity.
There you go. Skylar Thompson, excited for that opportunity. One thing that is good with him, of course, has that experience of starting a road playoff game against the Buffalo Bills. Also, you know, a tough place to play. I don't think the noise-wise, it's quite like Seattle. But, you know, I think he'll be ready for this one around.
Do you think it helps him that he's a gunslinger? You know, just kind of that mentality as opposed to, like, not make a mistake, not make a mistake, not make a mistake.
I kind of hope that he goes with that mentality, Dan, because sometimes when we've seen him come into these games, he does seem a little gun-shy, and I do want to see him just let it rip a little bit. Like, even McDonald was talking about this, and he goes, yeah, there's a pretty big difference in watching him and Tua. He's like, Tua, get the ball, throw the ball. This guy, we got to go for some off-script stuff. We gotta account for all of this. So I think that in a weird way, I think it's not that it's harder for them to face Skylar Thompson, but I do think that they have to account for some more wild cards if he's able to pull it off. So definitely be an interesting thing to check out. But yeah, if he went into this game and he went, I'll be honest with you. Like, I'd rather Skylar Thompson walks out of this game, you know, and leaves it all out there than a meek performance of don't blow this. Like, if he throws a couple picks, he throws a couple picks. As long as they're ones that were down the field and not like little stupid checkdowns that, you know, happen and he just had to throw it up. Don't pull a Will Levis, or quite frankly, don't pull a Tua like he did on Thursday night. Then I'll be okay with it. I can live with mistakes if he's taking chances.
Yeah, you got to go all out. Go down on your sword. You can't be out there playing not to get pulled, because you want to see him just go out there. And if you get pulled, you get pulled. Then you got Snoop Dogg coming in.
Snoop Huntley. I had no idea people were calling him Snoop, but now you do.
When he was a kid, he looked like Snoop Dogg.
All right. Doesn't he? I'll call him what he wants to be called, dude. I'm not a... I'm not against doing that. For if you prefer that, then I'm all for it.
Hollandale Beach High.
Dolphins. That actually hasn't worked out recently, though. All the local QBs who have come back. It's been a bit of a snake bit situation.
Who was the most recent one?
Mike White. Before that, Teddy. And then before that, Jacoby Brissett. They hit all three counties. So now we're back to Broward. Let's hope this one works out. ESPN's Chris Canty. He's a bit of a Dolphins hater. But he had a take on ESPN Radio and said that he believes the Panthers are in a better spot than the Miami Dolphins. Here's Chris Canty.
Which QB situation do you feel better about moving forward, Carolina or Miami?
Carolina, it's easier for them to cut their losses. Like, I know that moving on from Bryce Young is not going to really hamstring me in terms of my salary cap. I don't know the workaround when it comes to Tua's contract. I mean, you're going to have, you know, premium talent on the cheap, which is why I think the Dolphins will have to look to the draft at some point in order to figure out, you know, what their answer to quarterback is long term. But yeah, I would feel better about the Carolina Panthers situation.
I mean, here's the thing with that, though, from Chris. I get what he's saying. I know he's trying to be cute there. I guess when you say cut your losses, the bigger thing is, well, you're already saying you didn't believe in Bryce Young. And if they're terrible, they'll just take the next quarterback, whoever it may be. Mega Cam Ward at the end of this thing, you know. So there'll be a QB. The thing is, though, if this Dolphins thing does get disastrous, the Dolphins have their first-round pick next year, too. So they technically could do the same thing. It's not like there's this bevy of free agent QBs for Carolina to turn to if they don't have the situation. But, yeah, they could pull an Arizona Cardinals like they did with Josh Rosen and just go back into the draft and try Kyler Murray. But, man, these rookie QBs, you don't know, man. You don't know how long it's going to take them because you could have C.J. Stroud. You know, everybody's talking Bo Nix. Oh, Bo Nix is the man. Not looking so hot for Bo Nix. Maybe it will. Maybe.
I mean, it could still happen for Bryce Young. You got to give him a little bit of time, right?
Dade South saying, Chase Daniels said the Dolphins should trade for Matthew Stafford.
Right. That was the talk.
Is Matthew Stafford on the block? Like, I mean, this is one of those where, like, okay. Like, are the Rams just here willy-nilly willing to give up on Matthew Stafford?
Well, what they're talking about, I think the thing is Matthew Stafford comes to the Dolphins, Bryce Young goes to the Rams, and we give up a second-round pick, and so does the Rams to the Panthers.
I don't know who that benefits.
That doesn't benefit.
I don't know who that benefits.
It benefits the Dolphins.
I don't know. That one's a weird one to me.
Yeah.
I saw one the other day where it was like the Heat trade Jimmy Butler to the Warriors, and they trade Jaime Jaquez, I think it was to, like, the Kings. I'll find this on Reddit. I want to get this right. But it was so ridiculous. I was like, what? Like, why would the Heat say yes to that? That makes no sense whatsoever.
Unconditional second-round pick. Why do we want that?
It basically was like, not only do the Heat lose Jimmy Butler, but also they're losing their top two guys, and I think we end up with, like, Kuminga. I'm like, cool. Thanks for your fake trade. Here it is. This is from, I think, Bleacher Report. Trade proposal. Warriors. They get Jimmy Butler and Pella Larsson.
Oh.
The Heat. They get DeAndre Hunter. Mm-hmm. Bogdan Bogdanovic.
Oh, yeah.
Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga, and a 2025 first-round pick. So you're going to get the Warriors' first-round pick with a team that's going to have Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler. Well, it's not going to be a high pick. And then the Hawks, they get Wiggins, Jovich, Kevon Looney, and two first-round picks.
What?
And I'm like, why would the Heat even entertain? I mean, you know, I gotta, just because you're a graphic doesn't mean, just because you can make graphics doesn't mean you should put out fake trades all the time.
Yeah.
Man.
Weird trade.
Very weird trade. Also, we turn to Philadelphia, the Eagles, who are getting ready to take on Dan Day's Saints, licking their wounds. But Nick Sirianni, who nobody seems to be a fan of right now, he says he's sticking by his decision. He's sticking by his decision of kicking the field goal and not running the football and everything that went down with Monday Night Football. He has no regrets.
I've put myself in that situation prior to the call, so I felt like in the moment, my conviction in the moment was I knew exactly what I want. Again, is the outcome always what you want? No, but your conviction in the call, I was completely convicted that kicking the field goal there was the right decision based off of all my studies. Now, I come back and I reevaluate it, right? And I'm even more convicted, to be quite honest with you.
That's what you want to hear.
This is what you want. Here's the thing, though. I don't have a huge problem with it because the play should have worked. You know, like, ultimately, the play should have worked. They should have given it. Saquon Barkley has to catch that football. He has to catch that football. So while I am, you know, I like laughing at Nick Sirianni because he's just got one of them faces that you just, it's just, you know, not very rootable. And I can't get mad because I feel like it's mostly in the player's hand. Like, you have the ball there. You get it. That puppy is over. So I don't really have a problem with it. But, you know, when you say I'm even more convinced.
Right. That's my problem.
That's the one where you're just like, all right, dude. You don't have to say, no, actually, it was super smart. Because my studies would have never accounted for how this goes wrong.
I mean, you don't want to hear your head coach being like, in hindsight, it wasn't the right call. But I'm convinced that I'd make it again. No.
Yeah, this is one of the things, you know, when you have these guys, and Mike McDaniel has this in him too. He goes, well, yeah, I always like, you know, when he has people question his plays, it's always like, oh, people like the plays that work. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, you think you're being cute here? Like,
we got to throw a couple that don't work so we can throw people off the ones that do work.
Yeah. Huh? I'm always just one of those where, like, all right, I get it. You guys put in more studies, you got more information out of anybody. Sometimes too much information. You know, like, just take the obvious thing. But you guys are so broken down with going for it and going against the metrics or trying to outwit everybody. And, you know, I'm all for it. But then there's a time and place where you just kind of do the obvious thing.
Mm-hmm. Saquon's got to catch that pass, though.
Definitely. No, he's definitely more. Like, if I'm going blank, I'll go 85 Saquon, 15 Nick Sirianni. But, like, yeah, he's got to catch that football. He's got to catch that football. Nick T says, doubling down will definitely go great with the Eagles fans.
Yeah.
That's fair. That is fair. We'll take a break here on the show. When we come back, more to come. We'll get back into Dolphins and Seahawks. And, of course, we have a Monster Canes game as well.